Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. I have Kunnar Vora on the line. He's a Senior Manager, Software Development at Amazon. Kunnar, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Adam. Thank you for having me.
All right, Kunnar, so I'm excited to get into today's topic. So we'll be talking about the upcoming book launch that we're doing together. And just a quick teaser for the audience, we will not be getting all the way into Kunnar's writing and doing a deep dive yet, but we will touch on it. We will be bringing Kunnar on for a second interview once the book is live and out there so that we can really do a deep dive. But just to get us kicked off, Kunnar, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with our mission Matters Minute. So Kunnar, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Kunnar, what mission matters to you?
Yeah, great question, Adam. For me, having been grown from an engineer, the mission that matters to me most is taking good or great engineers and making them into great managers. And, you know, when I look at my journey too, you know, I became a manager almost 17, 18 years ago. It was a pretty hard journey. I had to learn things on the fly. And, you know, there are two or three things that go into it, which I want to do is educate our engineers on what goes into it and how you do it, the right skills that go into it. And, you know, the more you think about it succinctly, it comes out to, doesn't have to be only engineers. It has to be individual contributors that we can make them into great managers. But yeah, that's my mission.
It's awesome. Love bringing mission-based individuals and executives on the line to share, you know, why they do what they do, how they're doing it, and really what we can all learn from it and how we can all grow together, right? So great having you on. And I guess just to get us kicked off here, like give us a little bit more of your background. Like let's go back to those individual contributor days, let's say.
Well, I'll go a little bit further back to kind of just give how I grew into software development, a little bit more of that background, and then we can go into, you know, the individual contributor as well. So for me, you know, I grew up in Mumbai, India, and one of the, you know, key pivotal moments I remember, Adam, growing up was in my eighth grade is when I first saw a computer. It's like love at first sight. You see a computer. I actually didn't know what it was. I knew it automated tasks. That's all I heard about. And the first language I learned was BASIC on MS-DOS. You know, someone that's old enough to kind of remember those days, I learned that. But the reason I call that out significantly here is, you know, that passion is what led me to actually become an engineer, right? I used to be so passionate about it that I used to grab every single time there. They used to kick me out of the labs. And really, I basically just grabbed all of it, right? All the time I could get. Yeah. Even to the point when I grew from into my college, into my undergrad as well, I actually took hardware plus software to just learn software, like, you know, computers. And the second big area that kind of I want to cover here is, you know, growing up, when I was coming up, you know, I had one of these uncles who kept on saying, you know, there's something called the internet coming out. This is back in 1995. And he was kind of very attuned into what was going on. If you remember, even within the US, 1995 was pretty early for the internet, early days. So what that actually did was gave me a very strong foundation to catch this wave. What we now take for granted today is the whole wave of internet, SaaS, cloud, you know, all of the different technologies that have come in. So I've been very fortunate to kind of take that on as well. And, you know, when you talk about the individual contributor journey, I started as an engineer, you know, been very passionate about coding and development. But then we'll end up going into that as well as, you know, how I made that transition from an engineer to a manager too.
I want to stay in those early days a little bit longer here, because I think, you know, your fascination for computers obviously was, it came to you at a very young age, right? But at some point, like as you were growing up, and I don't know if there was, you know, a moment or if it was just kind of like an evolution, like how did you know that this was kind of a direction that you could see, you know, you spending your, I won't say life, but, you know, spending your time on and maybe even making a career out of it? And probably weren't thinking the word career that young, but when did you know, like, how did that evolution take place for you?
You know, Adam, it was pretty organic. It's not like one fine day you kind of get it. It's been kind of growing over the course of time. So one thing I also really like to call out is, you know, I was very fortunate to have very supportive parents, you know, who told me you can do whatever you want growing up. And they really supported in whatever I wanted. So like very early in the days, I actually got a computer at home too, once they saw how fascinated I was. But just to answer your question, Adam, when I started playing and programming on the the computers, and kind of the teachers started observing that. My parents started observing that. There was almost like this feedback I started getting from others is like, hey, looks like you're spending a lot of time here. Like, what's going on? And then I started verbalizing, vocalizing all of that. And that led to me getting support from even my teachers and others who start saying, oh, why don't you look at this thing? Learn this programming language, learn that. And people came to me for advice, and I started telling them some stuff. You know, again, it seems more formal now, but it was very informal among friends. That led to kind of the interest going up to the point where I actually took computers and, you know, electronics as my, you know, in my undergraduate. It's where I really strongly started thinking that maybe this might be my career.
So I'm going to ask you a question, and it's pretty broad, but it's intentionally broad, and I'll tell you why. So, you know, there's individuals that'll watch this now and going into the future, and obviously technology change, platforms change, like everything changes, right? But if you were, like, let's just say starting your career over today, like, let's just say you're brand new back in the field, you know, with, you know, the current landscape, and you're thinking about a career in technology, whether it's, you know, as an engineer, software, or otherwise, what kind of things would you be thinking about, like, going into the future? And I ask that question again broadly because, you know, there's some people that'll watch this that are maybe not as far along in their career as you are. And they're thinking about, you know, I love technology, I love computers, I love media, I love these things, maybe, or software. Like, how would you be getting your footing in today's market?
So I think the first place I would generally start is, you know, introspection and knowing where the desire for that individual lies, right? And I have a couple of my friends whose kids are now grown up. They are actually coming now over to study, and they get a lot of advice from me. So I give them advice as well. So I'll probably share the same kind of
Uncle Kinnar, right? Come on.
Well, that's the part, you know, it kind of gets to you after a while, right? When someone calls you an uncle. But that's really what starts happening with age. But what's been very interesting is the choices that the students that have today, you know, are much more diverse. And what I like to tell them is you need to have some sense of a desire in which area you want to go. And if you actually don't know, I give them certain areas to actually try it out. Like, you know, programming is easy. It's cheap today. Like, if you want to try something out, it's so easy to buy a good computer, try out different programming languages. You have something called HackerRank as a website. There's LeetCode as a website. And, you know, you can try these things out to really grow your skills in there. So I really encourage, you know, some of the students to actually try those things out, see where their interest lies. And if they have good follow-on questions, I kind of encourage them in that direction. And the second part of it really is once you start knowing where you're trying to go, I can provide a landscape just being in the industry of, you know, what are some areas, just like, you know, one of that uncles that told me, go do the internet. It's something like that. I like to tell, you know, upcoming students is what is that I see coming up in the next 5 to 10 years that they can grab that wave early, because, you know, they are innovators. Everyone's an innovator today. And I'm pretty sure some of these guys are going to come up with something that we never dreamed about. So, you know, the part of this whole, I guess, coaching or that thinking mindset is really take their desire and funnel it to something that we don't know today, but something that can become really massive in the future.
Yeah, it's great. And one of the things that I always like to bring up is that, you know, the timing nowadays, timing, people always, like, some people will watch this say, well, you know, Kinnar started when internet started, right? Dating you, right? Way back when in the 90s. Oh my gosh, right? But, like, to me, the timing now, it's just so ripe. Like, it's so perfect. Like, there's so much change and there's so much going on. There's so many different ways to add value. It's like, I'm always one of those people that's like, if you want to go out there and you want to try something, like, do it like you mentioned, but it doesn't, even outside of, let's say, your profession, you want to create a YouTube channel, you want to create a podcast, you want to write a book, right? I mean, you don't have to work through a publisher like us. You can do it yourself. I mean, however you need to do it. But the thing is just to go out there and to start. Like, you don't have to, like, the timing now, economies of scale, the way the access to information, to me, I'm like, man, if I would have had some of these things when I was younger, it'd be interesting to see. But on the other side of that argument, right, is always like, there's just so much to choose from, right? Yeah. So what are your thoughts on timing for individuals that are entering the market now in terms of their career and thinking about maybe going on some of these paths?
So again, I think it goes back to the desire and the choice, Adam, here, right? I think you did call out one thing which I do want to touch on is information overload. Early in your career, you think everything is important, and it's a little hard to choose one or two areas of focus that you want to kind of pursue further, right? So it's really getting some advice from either people who've been in the industry or people who know you well enough to be able to guide you to be able to take those next steps, I think is very important in these days. And I know you kind of touched on this, so I'm going to also touch on it, is like, if you look at just, let's take our current example, right? When Mission Matters reached out to me, you know, I'm a first-time author now, right? Could I have done this all by myself, you know, writing a chapter or writing a book? Yes, I could have, but the amount of uplift I have to do is higher. So, you know, Mission Matters actually provided that platform for me where it became where I could leverage my strengths on the content that I wanted to provide, and you guys provide the rest of the, you know, the framework for me to take it forward. I think the same model actually applies to everyone here, right? Even if you are a junior person, you are in a different trajectory of your career, you just got to figure out this one or two things that you want to do and really find the right mentors or right people who can help you get to that next level. And it's pretty easy to get in these days, you know, getting help and getting advice is pretty accessible these days.
It's awesome. So I want to pause for just a moment here. We'll definitely go further from the individual contributor role to really how you envision and how you help to make great engineers. But maybe just take a moment or two to just talk about your, you know, what you currently do over at Amazon.
At Amazon, I'm a senior manager, software development. What that means is I'm a manager of managers. That's what the role is. I lead a portfolio, which is a couple of different work streams is what I lead. I have managers under me that actually drive those work streams. And it's really very exciting because I'm in a role which is building kind of new capabilities. And it's like a startup within Amazon. So by the way, I don't know if I touched on this here earlier, but prior to joining Amazon, 20 years of my experience has all been in startups in the Bay Area, different stages and different types of startups. So I think it kind of, the gravity pulled me in where I gravitated towards this new initiative that we are building. It's called Buy with Prime. It's officially been launched. At least I can name what I'm working on. There are different aspects on it that I'm working on, but very excited to be building products that I really hope that shoppers and our customers are going to like in the future.
Amazing. I mean, I'm a huge Amazon fan. I count the orders, and I've been I don't know what year Prime came out, but I'm sure I was first. Not first in line, but I was there year one. I do hundreds of orders a year. So I'm a big fan. But interesting to hear your input and, like, you know, coming from the startup world and then transitioning into a larger company, like, how does that work? Not everybody can adjust culture-wise, right?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to give you two themes of maybe some of the larger themes that I really enjoyed about Amazon and my personal journey too, right? For the longest time, Adam, I was very hesitant to apply to large companies because, you know, my initial thoughts before joining Amazon was, hey, I'm going to be a drop in the ocean. I'm going to be one of the guys. And, you know, you get lost in the process and all the work you're doing, very hard to kind of get visibility and what you do. Now, I can only speak for Amazon because Amazon's the only large company I've worked for.
So which is an amazing story in itself, but go ahead.
Yeah. When I did actually make up my mind, because one of the things that really got me to Amazon, you know, initially I was looking at multiple large companies, but, you know, Amazon, I was fortunate to have been, you know, given an offer by Amazon, is to actually build applications at scale. My background allowed me to build teams, to scale products, but it never saw the scale that I was always envisioning for. Yeah. And, you know, at one point I basically came and said, I've done some of the building of the products. Maybe I should just look for larger companies that would provide that. Now, Amazon does provide a whole different challenge where the scale is, like, you know, completely on the other extreme where we have massive scale.
You asked for it, Kunar. Come on.
Yeah, I know. You know, as the saying goes, be careful what you wish for. You may get it, right? You may just get it. So been very fortunate to actually have come here. But the few things I'll say about Amazon that I have personally really enjoyed. Number one is ownership and autonomy. That was big in startups. And here, we, like, at least I can speak for my team here, we don't have a shortage of autonomy. If you want to take ownership of something, write a one-pager, write a doc saying what do you want to improve, why you want to improve it, and just take ownership of it. Second, I think we are customer-obsessed. I think everyone knows this. Amazon is customer-obsessed. We are not competitor-obsessed, which means that we look at what the customers want, which is in our case, a lot of the e-commerce shoppers, and we work backwards from their needs, and we kind of build products. So it keeps us very focused on what the customer wants rather than, you know, what we want, what competitors are doing. We are very focused on that. And, you know, I get to work with probably the best talent that's available today. I have to say the team I'm working with is probably the best. You know, we push ourselves to get better. I get better along with them as well, but the talent is superb here.
Thank you for that, because to peek behind the scenes and what's going on and just culture-wise, I think it's a great story. And obviously, for many in the United States, Amazon's a big part of our life. So great stuff there. So moving on to the kind of the book side of things. And as I mentioned before, we're just going to touch on this a little bit. But tell us a little bit more about some of the ideas you plan to propose in the upcoming book launch.
So for that, I think I have to give you a little bit of my story of how I transitioned from an individual contributor to a manager. And that learning is what eventually is transpired into, you know, what I'm going to be writing in the book. Yeah. So as a growth and as a journey of an individual contributor, and I'm going to speak for the engineer first, and then, you know, I'm going to summarize it in the end. Yeah. As an engineer, when I was growing, we all reach a fork in the road. And what I mean by fork in the road is you get two paths to grow. Either you have to become great technically, which is if you are a senior engineer, you become an architect, you become a principal engineer, you can go down that path, or you want to become a people manager. Now, the optics basically say that, hey, becoming a people manager is cool because you're going to have so many people reporting into it, you can direct them to what to do and all of that. But the journey, when you start taking it, you realize it's a completely different journey than what you see. The one other thing I also like to say is that, at least back in the day, we took some of our, you know, best engineers or good engineers and threw them on the deep end of the pool and said, just because you're a good engineer, you can be a great manager, right? And we said, go do this. Whereas that's not true. We know that, right? Management is, you have to start all the way from bottom up. It's a whole new discipline. So for me, that conversation of should I become a manager or not, you know, led to multiple iterations. But I'm going to quote one of my mentors who said something that really stuck with me. He knew I was proud about what I was doing. I loved coding. But then he mentioned something saying, hey, Kinar, you got to look at this differently. The chance to become a manager is basically an opportunity cost for you. And I was like, what do you mean by that, right? And he was trying to imply saying, as an engineer, you have so much of influence over the area that you work because you yourself are coding. It's one person influence, right? Now, you can grow in the tech path and have a larger influence, but still you'll have technical influence. But you go down the management path, you can have influence over number of initiatives you can manage, how strategic they can be, and what you can deliver is the business value. That's the influence you get. And then he was helping me calibrate between how the role changes. Like, you know, one of the fundamental places where the role changes, which again, it's a hard learning for everyone, is you start as an individual contributor, but then when you become a manager, you have to deliver through others. It's not about what you can do, it's what your team can do. How do you enable and empower the team to get that? So anyways, that was a big learning for me.
And I want to pause there for a second, because that's a big shift. It's like when you go from doing, but now you're responsible for others doing, like that's a big shift, not just in mindset, but it's not easy thing to move into.
Yeah. The part I think we all go through is the change you have to go through, kind of sometimes leaving your ego aside and also leaving the core thing that made you good is not what's going to make you good in the next discipline, right? You know, pride in your quality of code is not going to help you become a great manager.
So true.
It's a whole different discipline there, right? Mm-hmm. So when I did end up making that decision, again, I'm talking 2007, 2008, when I actually became a manager, the next thing actually went in is now I knew what, but I didn't know how. I didn't have all the skills in there. So I probably over those course of years, I made probably all of the rookie mistakes I made. I'm very thankful for my team that provided feedback. I still end up working with a lot of those folks, the engineers and the managers. So I'm very thankful for that. But really, the next area that I want to touch on, because this is what I've covered in the book, is, you know, two things I'll cover is, one, I found a resource. I'll call out the name of the resource here, but it's called manager-tools.com. And that is fundamentally one resource I found that provides actionable, you know, management advice. What I'm saying, I want to repeat it again, actionable management advice. Mm-hmm. I did not think before I met these guys that that was even possible. But when I learned through their framework, I realized it is actually possible. And the second thing I talk about in the book is, you know, once you get to know the what and the hows, you also need someone like a coach. And by the way, for our conversation, I'm going to, you know, interchangeably use mentor and a coach here. But really, I was very fortunate in one of our startups to actually have found one of my mentors. His name is Anil Khatri. You know, he really helped me see around the bend. These are people who've actually played your role, have already been pretty seasoned. They get to know you well and they can provide you that insight. So, you know, the combination of that knowledge and having a mentor has really helped me shape my career up to this point.
And I love that you bring up the idea that there's actionable, especially for maybe the way that some people want a very specific framework, right? Like you can operate within that framework, but there are everybody's management experience is not necessarily unique. There might be unique aspects, but like you mentioned, somebody that's already done what you've wanted to do or been in that role or otherwise, like there's a lot to gain and learn from it. I'm sensing based on your story, like mentors and kind of giving back there. That's been a big part of your career to how you've gotten where you've gotten, obviously. How do you propose that somebody enter into that type of relationship, especially for people that have never really had mentors around them?
So in larger companies like Amazon, you know, we are very fortunate that, you know, this process is also a little formalized. So, you know, you can go ask for mentors and others. Yeah. Like I am a mentor to a few of the managers within our team. And, you know, just a little more backstory on that, Adam, is, you know, a few years ago before I joined Amazon, when I learned about the actionable management advice, I thought I was probably the last person on earth who learned it, right? So when I started talking to other managers and I started talking to my manager on the team, I realized even they didn't know about it. Yeah. So I started teaching this as a course to my managers, and it's been, you know, I've gotten some very positive feedback through it. So that has led me to teach, you know, some of the early managers who are new to management or anyone that's interested to go in management, as well as that feedback. So it's been a good learning experience to get there. And also I would suggest, you know, you have to go ask and, you know, look around your network to be able to get a mentor.
Circling back to our overall theme of something you mentioned earlier that I want to highlight and maybe expand on a little bit here is the idea that if because you excel in one role, in this case, for our example today, it's, you know, it's being an engineer, that maybe you've done well. Maybe it's assumed that you're ready for that next role, which is management or otherwise. For people that are maybe going to watch this and are kind of considering making that transition, like what are some things that you feel that have helped you along the way with that thought process or that you've mentored others on? Like what should they be thinking about when making that change?
Yeah, I think one is to be very cognizant and aware. That's a whole new discipline. You know, sometimes I think the early reaction is, oh, just I just got to do people management and that should be easy enough, right? I think just being aware that there's a lot more steps involved in it, being very patient with it, and also being able to enjoy the journey rather than a destination, right? I think you shouldn't think of management as it's a destination. I manage three people, I'm done, right? No, it's not really not like that. You got to think about how you're going to grow your career because it's a whole new discipline, right? And the other thing I'll say to, you know, some of the people who are considering management is really finding good resources that can help them become that, and also finding good mentors because, you know, they will help transition that journey into what, you know, potentially could be. Also, even sometimes they even help them even identify if that's a right role for them going forward. Sometimes that's an assessment you got to do early on in your career too.
Yeah. And it seems like you're kind of allowing yourself to be new again, which to me, I mean, it's being new is always for me personally, a little bit painful because it's like, like you have to learn something new. It's hard. It's hard again. The brain doesn't want to deal with anything hard, right? Yeah. It feels heavy sometimes. But on the other side of that, it's like, you know, learning, enjoying the journey, as you mentioned, and just giving yourself a little bit of break, just understanding you're not going to be perfect. You may have been like number one in something else, but this doesn't mean that if there were a ranking, you're number one on this one. It means that you're starting another journey again, right? And you have to get involved in the process, right?
Yeah, that is very true, actually. It's a little bit more of a humbling effort, you know, if you're good in certain areas.
That's a better word. That's the word I was looking for, humbling.
Yeah, it is very humbling, actually. And what I do feel, though, you know, I don't think it's been talked about enough that, especially in the tech industry, we see this day in and day out, is you are a student every single day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have to continue to learn. Either it's newer technologies or newer disciplines or newer ways to grow your team performance. So I think it kind of into that overall theme, but you are right. It needs a little stepping back, you know, being really having that hard conversation with yourself and then making the leap forward.
Well, Kinnar, I know we're just scratching the surface today, but we will be bringing you back on for another interview, as I mentioned before, once the book's out, and we'll do a deep dive into your writing and also your views on really what it means to go from an individual contributor to managing people and leadership in general. So we'll do a deep dive on that. But for today, I guess I'll just have to ask, so what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for your career?
Yeah, so for me, you know, as I mentioned, I'm absolutely enjoying my time here at Amazon, which I'll continue to do. Hopefully, we'll build some really fantastic products that the customers will love. I really am trying to take this passion of coaching and mentoring the engineers to become better managers and trying to figure out a way to formalize it. So yeah, that's going to continue. Hopefully, this book will be a step in that direction and then other steps too. Yeah.
Fantastic. And if somebody wants to follow your journey and to connect them, what's the best way for them to do that?
For now, I would say they can drop me a note on LinkedIn. I think that's a good professional way to connect, and I'll do my best to, you know, reach out or talk to them.
Fantastic. And we'll put that link in the show notes so that our audience can just click on it and head right on over and check out your profile on LinkedIn. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time listening to a Mission Matters episode or engaging with the platform, we're all about bringing on executives, entrepreneurs, and experts and having them share their mission, why they do what they do, how they're doing it, like what can we all learn from their lessons in their life, and how do we all benefit, right? So if that's the type of content that you find interesting, hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Kinnar, really, it has been a pleasure. Looking forward to the next time we get to work together. So thanks again for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, Adam, for having me.